The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton from the SDR Show. Every once in a while, I get to say this. True rock royalty on the show. Dave Windorf, Monster Magnet. Have loved these guys for like 25, 30 years. Just one of the coolest rock bands on the planet. And before we kick off the show, this week we're doing something really interesting. Damn cool as well. Do you want to win a PlayStation 5? Who the fuck wouldn't? They're impossible to find. We gave one away on Gas Digital not that long ago. And now Yo Delta has your opportunity to win a brand new PlayStation 5. Just go to YoDelta.com to enter to win. There's no purchase necessary, but they do have Delta 8 products at great, great prices that will 100% get you high. So you can buy some Delta 8 and you can enter to win a brand new PlayStation 5 at YoDelta.com. Remember, we do the SDR show every Wednesday, every Saturday. Use the code SDR. You get a 20% discount. You get a 7-day free trial. But really, let's just jump right into it. It's goddamn Dave Windorf. We love this dude from Monster Magnet. Let's kick it off. It's the SDR show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is a hit show. Show me a tit show.
It is the SDR show, sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. I am Ralph Sutton, back with me with my pretty permanent co-host. It is James Madden. How are you, buddy?
Buddy, this is exciting. I'm very pumped for this guest. Shannon asked me, and I just wrote, fuck yeah. I didn't even say yes. I said, fuck yeah.
So what happens often, which I like, Shannon back with us, obviously, as well. What I like is that very often guests come down the wire, and I will tell Shannon, ask so-and-so, whoever can do it. You're usually my first choice after Jay. If Jay can't do it, you know, would you the regular co-host, right? And then sometimes you get back a yes, and sometimes, like, I'm free. But every once in a while, it's like a fuck yeah, let's do this. And this gentleman right now, Dave Windorf of Monster Magnet, got the James Madden fuck yes. How are you, sir?
Fuck yeah, dog.
Fuck yeah, I'm good.
I'm going to start with a story, because why not, right?
Hey.
We're going to go back to 2003. Monolithic Baby had just come out. Love that album. I will say, my personal favorite Monster Magnet record. And you came into the studios of my old radio show called The Tour Bus, and we hung out that night.
I remember.
And had a great time. Then I went to go see you perform at the Birchill. And at the time, I had never seen a Monster Magnet show, and Buck Cherry was opening. Right, sold out show, Monster Magnet and Buck Cherry. And I will say this, Buck Cherry, they had something to prove. It was like their second album, and they wanted people to really, you know, they gave 110% rock show.
Yeah, those
and
guys
really killer live set at the time. And I remember thinking at the end of the show of them waiting for you to come on, well, how the fuck is Monster Magnet gonna top that? Because that was such a great show. And I will tell you, Dave. You fucking topped that. I'll never forget. Shirt off, the fucking foot on the speaker. It was such a great set. It made me fall in love with you guys more than I already did. And now I've seen you guys like five times because it just was. It was such a great show. You
I remember
won me
that.
Over
I
that day.
Remember that because Buck Cherry were really good, and Birch Hill's like one of those places. Birch Hill's like for anybody who doesn't know what Birch Hill was. It was just like this nest of rats out in the woods in Jersey, you know, and normal life did not, you know, it didn't go on there. They were demanding, ravenous rock people. So you had to like everything you got, or they just wouldn't pay attention to you at all. So
it was a unique time also back then. Because first of all, you're a New Yorker natively, right? I think you are.
New Jersey.
So you lived and breathed the Birch Hill, I'm sure. And
absolutely.
Studio One and all those other places that were big back then. The caves and all those places. That's great. So Birch Hill was in the middle of nowhere. It was a ski lodge, I think, in the dead of winter for a while. And then it just became the rock venue of New Jersey.
Right. And it was it was like a hole into another dimension. I mean, there's just nothing like going to that place out in the woods. You know, yeah. You had to drive through the woods in that stone parking lot, and it was run by this old gangster guy.
Yeah, it was nuts. And then they had an outdoor deck where they would sell hot dogs. Like, that was they did have hot dogs out on the deck. That was great. It was a great time.
All hot dogs would be thrown up about 3 feet away from it.
That was crazy. If you never got to see that, that was probably one of the last true rock and roll venues. It was a bar first, and they had shows. It was just great. It was a great place.
It's back when Hedonism was in full flower.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I broadcasted my radio show from there many, many times, and it's one of those venues that I truly miss. So anyway, move forward now. That was, I think, maybe your sixth or maybe your seventh album, sixth or seventh. And now the 11th album is about to come out, and it is the first all covers record. But it is record. You've done covers before, obviously. But I have to be honest. James, you might be better at this part than me because you know some of the more obscure bands than I. I only knew like one or two bands on the list. I'm going to admit it, Dave. I didn't know all the bands on the list.
That was a purpose. I'm not going to put out a cover record. What am I going to do? Smoke on the water? I wanted to do something that was a cool thing to do during the pandemic, that nobody would throw me out of the world for doing a stupid covers record. So I did what I thought would be the most obscure, you know, freakadelic, psychotic early 70s cover songs that nobody ever heard of. You
know? Right. It comes from an interesting time. So for those that don't know, that late 60s, early 70s rock, when I guess FM was just trying to figure out what the fuck are we doing, they would just play albums. Like, there was no commercials. It was I was younger, but it was just a bizarre time to be into music. And that's, I guess, when you were coming of age. But the fascinating thing about it to me is that probably the only time in history where you could put out an album for no other reason than the music of the album. No radio hit, no commercialism. Yes. Let me just put out a rock record that I want to put out.
For a short period of time, there was a little window that was open where the lunatics ran the asylum. Literally, the culture, youth culture, and music culture was out in front of other culture. It was smarter than TV and smarter than Hollywood. Hollywood had lost its balls there for a while before the early 70s movies came up. And rock was like an actual currency. And it was really cool. It didn't last long. But yeah, the lunatics ran the asylum. And FM radio stations, which were like new or actually they were just used to be classical, took over and started playing the most ungodly, freakish stuff you've ever heard right into the minds of like little kids. It was really cool.
That's really why. I mean, analysis was it went from the Beach Boys and then ended up being Black Sabbath. Like, that's really kind of the transition that happened in a very short amount of time.
Yeah, I heard it in my head, too, because like I was 12 years old. I'm old. I was 12 years old in 1969, and I'd been listening to the radio for at least 6 years before that and watching TV, and culture went completely ape. It just went totally nuts. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, everything was in living color. You know, all the kids had gone crazy, growing their hair out. The music was like freaking out. It was awesome.
Right.
And it happened so fast. Like you say, you go from Beach Boys to Black Sabbath. That's a big change in a couple of years.
Right. It's crazy. And also, all those 70s sci-fi films were all fucking batshit crazy. Like, it was a crazy time that America was finding its voice, and they were just experimenting and throwing whatever the craziest shit on the wall and see what sticks.
And the world was on fire, too. I mean, it was like, you know, it was like the 70s, early 70s and late 60s were as much about, you know, history tends to paint these things in niches. Like, here's the cool 70s, here's the cool 60s. But all at the same time, everything was going on at the same time. The world was on fire. We had riots for like 10 years, a good, you know, 6 to 10 years every single summer. Civil rights was like the story of the age, Vietnam. So it was nuts. I mean, parents were freaked out. Like, kids were eating LSD. They were rioting in the streets. It was like, yeah, burn it. You know, like, and all the kids was like, burn everything down. And kind of like it is now, except it was more fun. And the music reflected it instantly.
Right. I would say that for sure. By the way, not that this is the same time period, but I just watched a documentary. It's called The Titans That Made America, and it deals with 100 years ago when Ford and Chrysler, these titans of industry, shaped America. Yeah. And what's crazy is the mirror of imagery from 100 years ago to today, right after a pandemic, a high stock market, all this like bizarre energy, tension with China. It almost like feels like it could have happened yet. And titans of industry that are ruling the country, three or four people. So instead of Ford, it's Zuckerberg. It's amazing how history repeats itself. It's crazy.
It really does, you know, and it hasn't been that long for the last 100 years. I think most people should like recognize that. You go back and read history to make you feel a little bit better about knowing where we're going. It's like, all right, you know, you adjust things. Progress comes like a wave, it hits the sea and then it rolls back. But then it comes again. You know, I have to be prepared to like make it better and keep the wave up higher. But yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you're talking about. I saw that thing too.
I can always tell when James is poised for a question. Go, James.
Well, no, this is why I'm preparing alcohol to become illegal. And so I'm getting ready to be a bootlegger. I'm getting ready for this shit. Prohibition, I'm going to make my goddamn money now, Dave. They call me Al Capone.
I would not, although because we just became legal in New York not that long ago, I think it'd be a hard sell for alcohol to become illegal.
That's tick for tack, baby. That was the big ruse from the jump. They're going to give you weed and take away the booze. I'm going to have Coors Light out of my new apartment, baby.
I don't mean to be a stickler.
That wouldn't be a bad idea, to tell you the truth. Notice other people. But now I think the one thing that we progressed in is that the guys upstairs know that it's better to have a drunken stone populace. It's easier to push them around.
That's for sure. And by the way, James, not to fucking shit on you, but it's tit for tat, not tick for tack. Tic tac is a goddamn candy.
Sometimes it's a meal, bro. As a comic, sometimes I just take a whole fucking thing of orange. And I just looked at the list of songs. So on the list, I went 0 for 12, but I know a bunch of the artists. No Chance. Yeah, I get that you didn't see it, Ralph, but like Hawkwind.
I know Hawkwind, and I know the Pretty Things.
Those are
the
two.
Hawkwind and the Pretty Things. Those are the two I know.
I want Silver Machine played at my funeral. Dave, I might save some money to book you guys to play my funeral, play Silver Machine.
I'll do a
20-minute version. A fucking 20-minute. Just let it go. Piss off whatever relatives I have left. Just fucking
tell you
make
what,
it loud.
James, you keep saying tic-tac instead of tit-for-tat, and you have a funeral sooner than you expect. I'll tell you that.
Dude, let's get it done now while I still have money so I can book them, goddammit.
But by the way, so David, what I do like that feels, I've never called you David. That's weird, but I'm seeing David. Dave seems right to me.
My father?
It says it on the goddamn Zoom screen. That's why, Dave. Yeah. What I like is you're talking all about how passionate you were for radio and FM radio becoming so instrumental in your life. The opening track is a spoken word from a dude that was synonymous with wacky radio back then. Diamond, what was it? Diamond Mine is the song, right? The speech.
Yeah, Dave Diamond was the DJ.
Yeah.
And he was this, a guy who was in California preaching the music psychedelic at the time. And he preached it like, he tried to preach it like a mad poet, but he came up more sounding like a cop who had overdosed on LSD, which makes it insanely just so great. And fantastic. It's over the top. He's trying to fit in as many non sequiturs and evocative visualizations of the psychedelic trip, but it's coming from a guy who's obviously older.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he probably never tripped in his life. So he's like, fly with me now, deep, deep, you know, deep, like Jack Webb on Dragnet, except on acid, screaming about fur-lined volcanoes and crying, is God alive? And, this guy was on fire, and that kind of stuff, that late 60s, one man meets eternity through psychedelic drugs, I just was always thought was the coolest and most hilarious thing I'd ever heard, even as a kid. I mean, I didn't exactly buy it, but I liked the idea of it.
Right. How did you even hear that? Because I think he was out in California, and you're in New York, and there's radio syndication wasn't that big yet. How the fuck did it get into your eardrums?
They had acetate printed of that thing and a single printed. And there was vinyl, but there was acetates, and there was an acetate at the local music shop, and the guy would spin it all the time.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I think I was 11 at the time. And I was like, what is that? So I couldn't hear the show, but I heard him.
That's cool. Did you see all these bands that we're talking about here? Did you see any of them, or were you too young to see them when you were a kid?
Most of them I didn't see. I mean, I could have seen Dust, but they never played around. I saw Hawkwind.
Okay, you know, that's cool. I mean, they were the only one that I think they kind of that list got bigger than anybody else on that list, right? Yeah.
Hawkwind is a life changer, man. I mean, you've never seen anything like it. It was punk rock before it was punk rock. Just imagine long-haired punk rock with a six-foot naked woman dancer painted in black light paint with a guy in with a saxophone, of all things, but plugged into a fuzz box, you know, through a fuzz box in an echo chamber. It sounded like a heavy metal goose playing while this woman, this statuesque woman, danced naked around, and they just projected pictures of old science fiction movies on stage. And they played this ungodly noise. And I was 14 years old, and I was like, more, please.
That's so cool. I mean, I don't think there's any band right now, and I could be wrong. James, you might know better than I. Any rock music out there that's really trying to push the envelope in terms of seeing something or doing something that's just not normally done? Dave, do you have any thoughts on that? No. No one.
It's weird now. I mean, it's not the same thing. It's like the internet has made it a very, very small world. And people are very, very aware of what they do, and they're very careful. They don't take the chances they used to do. And they don't express, I don't think totally through music, express what they're really feeling. So they take a lot of less chances. People are worried about their jobs. You know what I mean?
I think your job can be taken away from a tweet. I mean,
everything's a niche. Everything's kind of smoothed out. It's been done a million times. It's like, it's still cool when you go out and you see live bands, but it's nothing like that weird time between the 60s and, say, up to punk rock where anything went.
I'd say maybe Ghost, but you could argue that they're not the realist, especially now that he's given interviews as a human. So
well, it's too bad. I didn't know he was doing that.
Ghost is a good show. I mean, they're cool because, you know, the conceptual rock given in a bunch of different forms, like not only through live, but through their records and through their website and stuff. All that stuff's cool, but I don't see him like pushing the needle at all. It's just like a cool video game.
Yeah, that's a good analysis. By the way, you talked passionately in an interview, and I so agree with this. There's that an art form that is lost, which is going to a record store and buying an album based on just looking at the record and saying, oh, there's two guitars on this, or oh, look, there's a horn player on this, or oh, these guys look different. And you just would pick something up. You have no fucking idea what it is, but like, this speaks to me visually. I want to go listen to it.
Such an awesome experience. And when the music delivers, which it didn't always do, you know, had a couple clunkers, but yeah, you really had to like sort it out in your head and know what to look for. You know?
Right.
All right. Two guitars. Must be louder. It's got two, you know. Do the guys look cool? Do they look mean? Do they look heavy? You know, what kind of music you look for? What are the song titles? Does it have death in it? You know, does it have some sort of doom and gloom thing? Like, yeah. And you're a 13-year-old kid, and you start doing the math in your head, and like, okay. And what was cool back then, not for the record companies, but for the experience, was that records didn't really pre-sale. You know, they didn't know how to advertise. It just came out in this giant surge of music that hit record stores, went up on the wall and into the bins. So the people had to pretty much figure it out as they went. So it was an organic movement, you know.
Yeah, there was no recommended playlist on the side.
Yeah, how do you sell something like Jethro Tull to 15-year-old kids, you know? It's like
it really was crazy. I remember once a week I would go to the local record store and just start thumbing through and say, oh, this looks – I'd make a list of ones that looked potentially cool, and then I would go through them a second time and pick what I could afford. Like, I could have had five albums, so let me find the five that looked the coolest out of the 20 I pulled.
Yeah, me too. Because you know, there's only so much money.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, man, I hope I didn't mess up. Yeah.
It's really cool. It's an art form that's gone, just like the art form of the mixtape that you would make for somebody. That doesn't exist anymore, where you would purposefully pick songs in a row, either for your friends or for a girl or whatever. No one's doing that again, ever. That'll never happen.
They do playlists now and stuff, but it's just like everything's just it's like everything that used to exist still exists, but it's on tracing paper, you know, where it's everything is just a little bit removed, a little bit less personal now.
Right.
Plus people really the mass kids, especially the kids, the massive kids today, don't express themselves with their music nearly as much as they used to. Like, they express themselves with their words. They got their own social media thing. They here I am. And then go, oh yeah, and here are my favorite jams, and here's my favorite movies. It used to be, there was no outlet for their words, so they would go, here's my band.
Right, I get that. Your identity sometimes would be quantified by the jacket you wore to school. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, totally. And now
that would show your allegiance, so to speak. Yeah.
Right, now it's just like fashion and stuff. So it's like a whole different trip today.
All right, before we go any further, great news for the fans of the show and fans of Yo Kratom, because they are the biggest supporter of our style of comedy here at Gas Digital and everything that we do. They launched Yo Delta. Yo Delta is all about that Delta 8. If you don't know what that is, it's basically legalized way of getting you high in, I think, 46 or 48. I don't know how many states. A lot of states it can go to. Don't quote me on how many states it is. But you can stock up all summer long on Delta 8. All you got to do is go to YoDelta.com. You use the promo code GAS, G-A-S. You get 25% off your entire order. It's basically legal weed, sort of. You know, that's what it is. It's the same thing that's in weed. It gets you high. It makes you feel happy in the pants. And it's called Delta 8. They have gummies. They have vapes. They definitely get you high, from the people I've spoken to. You know, I'm a puss, and I don't do a lot of this stuff. But if you go to YoDelta.com, use the code GAS. You get 25% off your entire order, and it is going to get you high legally. All right, let's get back into it. So this is, as I said, the first all-covers Monster Magnet record. And I am sure, and I think I heard this somewhere too, but like, you didn't really want to write new songs. It's COVID time when you did this. And it's like, well, what's the easiest path? And yet also can make it sound like still be a Monster Magnet record.
How can I steal a bunch of songs and make people think of me? It was a... We were in the middle of a tour, like a two-part tour, and the tour got chopped in half because of lockdown. Mm-hmm. And I just had too much energy. I'm like, I'm not going to sit here and watch the internet as the country gets locked down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people storm the Capitol. It's like, what am I going to do? Like, shoot myself in the head? That's no time to write music. You know what I mean? It's just get bummed out. No. I'm like, I'm not getting caught up in this horse shit.
Right.
I'm going to go in and rock. Everyone's like firing on all cylinders and ready to rock. And I was like, all right, it's time for the cover album. This way I could keep my place at the rock table, make an album, keep myself busy during lockdown, get it out, hopefully while this stuff still is going on, and then start to write the next record. Maybe have two records out in 12 months or 15. Mm-hmm. So that was the whole thing. But I wanted to make sure it was a cool record.
Right, and you wanted it to sound as much as a Monster Magnet record as it could sound like a Monster Magnet record, as opposed to sound like you're doing cover songs.
Right. I mean, covers are cool, but you don't want to, you know, it's a slippery slope, as you know. It's like, cover record, you suck, you know? What, you can't write? You know, that kind of, but it was like, I was like, yeah, but my covers are better than your cover.
Was there any aspect of it that you said, these are the bands I love that most people never heard of, so let me show them my inspiration bands?
Yes.
That's cool. Yeah. That's really cool. Because I mean, like I said, I'm going to look up some, but I know two of the bands, you know, so it makes you want to go look that up. It's pretty
wild. I picked them for, like, you know, and also picked them for songs and sequence, you know, like, and can I sing them? You know, right. There's a lot of bands, these great bands, but the singers are just so good, I can't sing like that. It would just be horrible. So I'd go, all right, that's out. Yeah. I can't do what that guy does. So I think the ones that were in my wheelhouse, so to speak.
Right. Yes, James.
I love a cover album. I know some people think they're a cop out. I still will argue and get in a fist fight. I think the best Rage album is their cover album. And the last,
I think that's a great record too.
It tells more about the band without them actually telling you who they are. And the last great Ramones album was Acid Eaters, I think.
I love that record
too. It's fucking great. There's no issue.
As a matter of fact, you're right. And the Metallica cover album was good.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I had the tape. I had the five-song tape that I bought bootleg, and I felt proud about it.
But also, by the way, I also like, which doesn't happen as often, when you either take a song and make it your own, which you did on this one. That happens a lot. But when you do a song that nobody would expect you to do, like a pop song or a rap song or something, and then make that your own.
That's my next trick, Tori Amos record.
Boy, you really hit me right on the heartstrings right there, my friend. Right.
And by the way, is it the Tori Amos song with the cats, or that's not Tori Amos? That's with the ASP, you know, the Saving People.
That's Sarah McLachlan.
Sarah McLachlan, the same crap. What do I know?
No, it's not the same crap. Tori Amos is way better than Sarah. How
Absolutely.
Dare you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Please cover Winter on the next album. Tori Amos.
Yeah. I also, by the way, I'm going to say one little, it's a, not a pet peeve, but it's, I think it's part of this, is that you said the music is way better back then, right? I have a firm belief that the music where you turn into a teenager, you're always going to identify as the best music, because that's when you became you, and that's why that means something to you. So to me, early 80s is what I love the most.
You're right. Everyone's got their own golden age. And I feel bad for you that you had such a shitty golden age.
It could be now. Now is much worse.
No, I'm not saying it's better. I'm just saying it was different in a way that's it changed more often. So
right. And taking commercialism out of it is what makes it more unique.
Well, yeah. And just the scene, the way that the music held in with the, not just the youth culture, but the an underground culture that was working as an alternative to the way America was supposed to work. And all these things came together, like rhythm and blues came together with rock and country and stuff. That's never happened before. It couldn't be any further away now. Everything is totally niche. And so I'm not saying the music better. I'm just saying the times were cooler.
Right. But by the way, speaking of a time when music genres melded, on your Instagram, which is Monster Magnet Official, I saw a poster and I was like, what a fucking lineup. It was Urban Dance Squad, Monster Magnet, and Afghan Wigs. And I was like, holy shit, that is a fucking weird and cool lineup.
Yeah, that's the lineups were cool. And you know, in the 90s in Europe, this thing happened that not that many Americans who didn't go to Europe didn't realize. The wall came down in Berlin, and Europe went on like a 10-year party where all of a sudden, to a lot of people in a lot of the Eastern countries, opened up to rock. So we had this weird thing where it was like rave plus mixed rock bills and all this kind of crazy stuff that doesn't make any business sense to us. But it made it sense to them because they had all these hungry kids that had never seen anything like that before. It That's was cool. Wild time. It was really, really cool. That's where that shift.
There was a time, I don't know what year this, I have to guess it was like 99, maybe 2000. There was a nightclub in New York City that was a dance club, right?
Yeah.
But every weekend they would do this for, I don't know what they paid the guys, but the singer of a big rock band would come out. They'd have a band. It would never be the band. I saw Alice Cooper did it. Vince Neil did it. And a couple others. I forget who, right? In the middle of a nightclub, let's say 1-2 o'clock in the morning, the music would stop. They'd come out and sing three songs, rock songs with, you know, probably just to tape or whatever. And then they'd leave. And half the place was like, what the fuck is going on? I would go just to see that and leave. It was really wild.
Alice Cooper would come out and sing karaoke for three songs?
Yeah, and leave. Yeah, but his songs. Vince Neil did it once. Alice Cooper did it once. And one or two others. I went through.
Great idea.
It was wild. It was fucking wild. But I miss those things, like things that, like,
I wonder how they got all those egos to do that.
I'm sure somebody had a fucking fortune, I'm sure, and gave them money, because this is, I don't know how. It was just great. It was a great time. So a couple other quick questions. Yeah. I never asked you this. You came on my old show a couple times, but where did the fucking name Monster Magnet come from? What does it even mean?
A toy. It came from, it was like there was this company, the greatest toy company in American history, called Whammo. These are the guys who invented the Super Bowl, you know, and like, you know, it's cutting edge. It's like cutting edge technology of toyness. And I had it when I was a little kid. It was this really stupid toy. It looked like a demon in the shape of a horseshoe. So he had no body. It just had shoulders and arms that went like dirt. And a bald head. Kind of looked like Mr. Clean.
It sounds like you're describing people that Shannon wants to date, but continue.
And he was buff and he was shredded, dude. And he had like these pointy ears. He got two earrings. I don't know what that means. And And on the end of his fist were magnets. And that was it.
Oh, he was called Monster Magnet. That was his name.
It was the Monster Magnet. And
wow.
That was just, I had a million other names. And we were just driving to a gig under the impression that we're going to go under the name of Heroin Mule. And that was a name of our band that night.
Oh, there he goes.
Look at my boy.
There you go.
Good going, Shannon. Look at him.
Quick.
He has amazing power.
And giant strength. Tattoo.
did he, by the way, inspire your logo at all?
No, the logo came from just this toy that I picked up, another toy that I picked up at a thrift store, this big ridiculous bull thing. Okay. And I was like, pagan idolatry, why not? Fits with rock. I mean, it's not like I sketched Monster Magnet as some world domination plan. Oh. I went through the whole thing. I was like, 28 years old and had already been in a punk band, been through punk rock, and realized that the glory of rock wasn't always being totally serious about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I went into this whole thing going, yeah, it's a satanic drug thing you wouldn't understand. And I'm going to put a paganistic bull on this thing, and you kids are going to worship Satan, and you're going to love it. Yeah. But I'm laughing at the same time.
Yeah, Slayer's the same way. Slayer, I feel the same way with their lyrics too.
You can't be 28 years old and not realize, what I had already done that. So I just started to celebrate every stereotype I possibly could. And so I'd pick stuff like that and just pretty loosely like put that on. I had no idea it was going to go as far as it did.
Right.
Now, I thought it was a conceptual rock band.
That's the interesting thing is, I realize now, if 28-year-old Dave Windorf didn't play with toys, you wouldn't have a name and you wouldn't have a logo.
No, exactly.
So I said this earlier, by the way, my favorite album was Monolithic Baby. I love that fucking record. I could still listen from front to end. Just love it. You said in an interview you found that inspiration in Los Angeles. You wanted to make as rock and roll a record as possible. Felt that you nailed that, from my opinion. But the thing I want to talk about is that fucking video for Unbroken, where it was nothing but 40 hot chicks in a fucking hotel room.
No.
That just was one of my favorite videos of all time. Can you just
at that time, it was becoming rapidly clear to me from being on a major label for 1, 2, 3. This was the fourth record on somewhat of a major label. Like we had been on an even bigger one. That when it came down to creation, the only real way I was going to be left alone creatively was on the records. And when it came down to the videos, people were always going to have something to say about what you could and what you couldn't do.
Okay.
And I had started off being like very creative and mystical, trying to make these psychedelic, like these really arty psychedelic videos. And everyone was always like, well, we don't think it's blah, 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 blah. And then the guy would come in with a cigar, like, you're never going to get anywhere with that. And like, you're not going to get the budget for it. So, I was just like, screw it. You know what this is all about? What you guys are all about, but you're afraid to say? It's all about tits and money.
Hey, I live by that rule.
That's what I'm going to do. That's exactly what I'm going to do. Hip hop guys are doing it. I'm going to do it. Because that's where all the money was going.
Were you involved with the casting of those 40 hot chicks?
Yes, I was. I care about my art.
Hands on with this creativity.
Yeah,
Ralph,
and that was just like, I was just like, I'm so done with this, double standard. They had a double standard going on at the record companies for rock bands and hip hop bands. And I was like, the hip hop bands are having all the fun.
Right.
Because that's where all the money was going and no one seemed to bother. So I was like, well, I'll just do that. It'll be fun. I'll have a big party.
Well, that actually, by the way, could not tie in better to probably the biggest song. I could be wrong, but the biggest song, Space Lord, right? Maybe your biggest hit. I could be wrong on that. But that video is one of the most unique videos of all time, where you start out making fun of the metal world.
Right.
With like every single trope that was going on. Let's throw in an old guy. Let's do it in black and white. And
all the old guy
being done at the time. And then let's 180 that shit and then make fun of the Mace video, which is almost a shot for shot remake of some of those scenes.
Yeah.
Dancing, the ridiculous outfits, the leather. It was phenomenal. But my question that I've always wanted to ask you was, did you ever hear from anyone in Mace's camp? Like, what the fuck are you doing, dude?
No, You know, heard from them was the director, Joseph Kahn, who had directed the Mace video.
Oh, that's funny.
He got, you know, because he had told me, he goes, look, you know, because I'd come to him and said, look, you know, this is what we got to do. We got to have a bunch of dirtbag white kids doing a hip hop video. It was before any of it was before Kid Rock and all that stuff. Nobody had done it.
Right.
It seemed like the obvious thing to do. I mean, like every kid in the world is watching hip hop videos literally take over the world. I mean, hip hop was on top. It was it. It was like the new rock, was the new Zeppelin, you know? And I was like, give me some of that. I want to, you know, it's like, when did it become like not cool for me to do this stuff? You know, it was grunge time. And the grunge guys were like, no, we don't do stuff like that. We're not cool. You know, like it's not cool to be cool. And I was like, I want what those guys got. You know, I want the big lights and the cars and all that. I want all the bling. You know, I was like, I want that too. So I talked to Joseph Kahn and he was like, yeah, I'm totally down with that. And I was just like, genius kid. And he goes, I got something for you. He didn't tell me it was the Mace video until halfway done. He goes, by the way, this is a shot for shot remake of my video with Mace. And I was like, Mace is going to kill me. You better tell him.
I think he became a preacher right after. So you're all safe. He'll just he's probably saying a prayer for you every day.
He's Monster like, Magnet scared him straight. That's what happened.
Yeah.
He gave and then the instead of Puffy showing up in the car, it was Twiggy showing up in the car. It was just fucking brilliant. Everything about that video.
It was
just
fun. You could the record company spent money. If they saw that you were getting something for it, this is after I dropped my artistic pretense. And when they saw that it was going to go for something, they would just fuel it. You know, because MTV was still a thing and stuff. It was like, it's hard to explain now with, you know, to younger bands that I talked to. With, yeah, there was a time where people would take a chance on you and like bankroll your vision.
Right. Now the question is, how many Instagram followers do you have? And we'll take it from there. But
It's different. Not nearly as, you know, now it's all algorithmic.
You touched on grunge a little bit, and I could be wrong here, but I always felt, and I think I read this, it could be wrong. I always apologize. I'm just talking out of my ass sometimes. But the album before, which was probably one of the other Dopes Infinity albums that you're most known for, Negasonic Teenage Warhead's on there. And Negasonic means like it was about the negativity of the grunge movement as opposed to what used to be. Is that right or am I wrong?
Yeah. Yeah. It was like a kick at grunge, the whole loser thing. It was popular for the kids at that time that were into grunge and stuff, not to be a stereotypical rocker because rock had already been done a million times. Hair rock had come through and was like, you know, rock and roll was getting pretty old. You know, right. I don't think rock and roll was designed to be as old as it is. Even then, it definitely wasn't older. I mean, if I'm still talking, there's something wrong with rock and roll. There should not be, you know what I mean? There should not be a person my age. So. And it was fun to take a piss on them because they were just not getting it that you're supposed to enjoy yourself.
Right.
Too. I mean, people are not going to like you. You know, they're not going to enjoy you being bummed out. Nobody wants to see a bummed out 20-year-old kid. You know, it's like, yeah, I don't want to see a bummed out 20-year-old kid. It's like, at least you got some dreams left and you go for it, dude. You can be bummed out the whole rest of your life. Look at me.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
So two questions on that. One, did they need your permission to put that song into Talladega Nights, or did you find out when the movie came out? Like, how did that happen?
My publishing company alerted me that they wanted it. I don't think if I would have said no, I'm sure they would have argued with me and probably won me over in some way. So all they had to do was go, this movie wants to use your song. And I was like, yes, please. I need the money. I really need the money.
Right, right. That's cool. It's just great. And then the other part that's interesting is there's a, if you're a, which I've read this, I don't know if it's true, that you're not a fan of Marvel movies, but they do have in the Marvel universe a character named after your song, Negasonic Teenage Warhead, that was in Deadpool. I know.
Deadpool 2, I think.
Deadpool
right?
2, right? I think it was 2.
I think
was it 2 or 1? No, I think it was 1. It was 1. It was in the first one. Yeah, it was in the first one. Yeah, for sure.
First one because
it's also in the Marvel universe, you know, the Marvel books it's in. She's an X-Men.
And, I hate the Marvel movies. I just think they're, it's like comic books were cool because they were weird and wonky. Now that they're all Hollywooded up, it's just not that much fun.
Did you know that that was a thing or did you just someone told you? Like, again,
The story is that this guy named Grant Morrison is a really great comic book writer.
He's the best.
One of the best comic book writers of all time. And I had met him in the early days of Magnet, and he was a total straight up guy, really nice guy. And he created a character after a song I wrote called Negasonic Teenage Warhead. Created a character called Negasonic Teenage Warhead and made him part of the X-Men, her part of the X-Men.
Right.
It was a him at that point. So, I mean, that's enough for me to I could retire at that point. I was like, yo, man, I got a guy that's named after my song title. This is great. It was just an old innocent shout out. No money, no stuff like that. Fast forward 30 years or something. And all of a sudden Marvel movies are making it big. Somebody reaches into a bag of characters that was created for Marvel 30 years ago and goes, wow, that's a really cool title. Why don't we use this character?
Mm-hmm.
So the next thing you know, I'm turning around just, I'm scratching my ass on my underwear at home. And all of a sudden it's like Negasonic Teenage Warhead. And I see this character coming out. Yeah, he could have knocked me over.
It could have been cool if she only spoke in Monster Magnet lyrics. Like that's her only line.
So brilliant. That. Nobody would take my phone calls.
And then lastly, on the one of the couple of the quick things, what I like about Space Lord, I remember you told the story to me at my old radio show, but I've read it a few times over the years that you were called a space lord by a dominatrix and you said, I'll show you one day. I'm going to write a song and put space lord in there.
What happened was that the dominatrix had seen a magazine, a German magazine, which had me on the cover and it just said the space lord. And it was like me in sunglasses, and of course I didn't mind. It was I needed the press. I didn't make it up, but I sure liked it. So I had this magazine and I saved it because it was a cool cover. And she was like, oh, she knew me from being in a band, but she didn't know that we had any kind of success.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, oh, so you're the space lord now, huh? Oh, a space lord. And I was like, look, this isn't funny. I'm in a rock band. Somebody wants to call me the Space Lord. Who am I to say no? Okay. They want the Space Lord. I'll be the Space Lord. I'm living the dream here. Stop. You're raining on my parade.
Well, isn't a job of a dominatrix to shame you anyway? Come on.
Yeah, but it wasn't that kind of relationship. Right. You know what I mean? It was like, I was like, you're off duty now. I was like, I was living in a hotel in New Orleans, And she's an off-duty dominatrix. But it came out. So I was like, someday you're going to pay for this. I'm going to get you back in the cheesiest, most stereotypical rock and roll way I possibly can. I'm going to name a song after it. And I couldn't believe it, but it actually worked.
Yeah, it's a fucking great song.
I saw her not too long ago.
Oh, really? Did she say, what's up, Space Lord?
Yeah. You still cracks on me, but.
I also, by the way, last thing I want to say is that you and I have similar views on something, but you took it in the art direction. I took it in the humanity direction. I'll explain. I felt when social media came out, how great would it be that the world gets a voice? And then I realized, most people are idiots, right? And they shouldn't have a voice. And you described art of the 21st century as it's just everybody just cares about themselves. It's the art of yourself. It's no longer about anything more than, hey, look at me, really.
Well, I think it's maybe it's not as narcissistic as that, but it's almost, meaning I think everyone has an idea, a feeling that what they say and what they write counts as much as everybody else's. Now, right. Theoretically, that's a wonderful notion, but if everybody screams at the same time, then it means absolutely nothing, especially if people fight. Yeah, and it turned out that they're more dumbasses than we ever thought were, that we ever could even imagine.
Right, agree. So, I remember, like, if you had a problem physically, you'd go to a doctor. Now, you go to WebMD or you tweet about it and see what people think, and that's never going to get you down the right path.
No, I mean, it's like, I'm a big history fan. And so I love cultural history. I mean, I love it. And you see how things go down after we march down this path of mass media and technology. And it's done nothing but just create this unbelievable existential angst in people. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like people are really, really winding themselves up so much. And they try to do good things for people and they wind up being human the way humans are, except they're not fighting fair. You know, a lot of people don't fight fair in this. And you could see the way the politics went in the last four years with the whole Trump thing. You see what happened with that? Like this, like, giant fourth dimensional wormhole, rat hole opened up. And all these fucking assholes and maniacs poured in. Just right. Like the worst part of humanity was emboldened because they could stand behind this and scream. And it's like, and then things get even more out of control when they start to write what this maniac represents or what they think they represent.
Right.
It's not even about what it is. It's about what they think it represents. And then things get wildly out of control. So it's a madhouse circus, with the fringes on either side screaming louder than the polite people.
Right.
Or sensible.
Well, that's why, by the way, I'm excited, at least in New York City. Rank candidate voting is coming back to New York. Rank candidate voting we used to do a lot years ago, where you don't just pick your guy, you pick in an order. I want this guy to win. If this guy doesn't win, I'd rather have this guy or this guy or girl.
I love that. Yeah, that's really
good. It's a logical way, because then the message starts getting to the middle as opposed to being divisive, and everybody tries to unify to get the most either number one votes or number two, because whoever has the most votes overall, point system wise, becomes the person in charge. And then whatever. Yeah. I don't mean to get sidetracked.
I always thought in a country this size, it's like you always got to stick to the middle, because I mean, yeah, people are going to be always pissed off on one side or the other, but a country this size, they can go at each other's throats pretty damn quick. If you don't have some boring president going, "Now you kids shut up," you know, and like, try to work out your problems. You always have to yell at people. Try to work out your problems.
Right. I agree with you. Plus, there's 3,000 miles between you, it makes it easier to shit on people.
Yeah. I mean, it's evil out there, man. It's like, there's good people doing bad stuff, bad people doing good stuff. I mean, I don't know which way to look.
Right. There's good people doing bad stuff, bad people doing good stuff. And then there's James Madden right in the middle.
Baby, I'm right in the middle. I'm the referee. I just mispronounced referee. I'm having a bad day with words, guys. I have a degree in journalism, Dave. I was going to be a music critic.
James, it's a very tic-tac thing of you to do.
I'm very tic-tac. Yo,
all right,
this is the best interview of all time. Got to say, I'm a comic, and I listen to certain songs to get my head right before I go on. And I know if I listen to the title track of Dopes of Infinity, I imagine I'm a wrestler walking to the venue, which is fucking insane. And I'm always on, and I'm gonna do it tonight.
Dude, thank you.
Because I'm talking to you. That song is the fucking, I mean, your whole shit is good, but that song gets me fired up. I hate that sometimes rap, I end up becoming like that dude. I become like Chris Farley sometimes on that. "Hey man, do you remember?" But it's like fucking dope. And also to see you with like in your kitchen with like mail in the back, that's the most Monster Magnet thing ever. This is, you have not let me down in any way. This is the best fucking Zoom interview of all time, sir.
The gateway to hell, everybody.
I was to say, name the guy in the band. You're like, "Oh, it looks like some sort of Monster Magnet dude."
This is terrific. I'm set for the day. God,
we got to hit the first, Shannon, because we got to wrap this up. Let's hit the first.
The first time ever I saw concert, did drugs, had sex.
The name of the show is Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll. We ask every guest since the dawn of time their first experience with all three. We start with rock and roll, and we mean the first concert you went to on your own volition. I want to go see this group. or a singer or whoever.
I just wish all these three things happened at the same time.
Oh, you and me both. We've been thinking about this for 5 years.
What a great story that would be.
Yeah. You know? I was seeing Black Sabbath getting a blowjob while smoking a joint. All right.
And then it was a Black Sabbath concert, and the girl in front of me turned around and kissed me. And then we had sex in the back, and Sabbath played. And then she slipped me some LSD.
Yeah, why not?
It was the best night I ever had in my life.
That story has to exist.
It does exist somewhere. It has to exist.
Well, you know what happened to me at a David Bowie concert one night? That happened to me where a girl who was in front of me, we were all like, it's David Bowie, you know, it's the Young Americans tour at the Radio City Music Hall. And my dream came true. Like this girl that was in front of me, she's dancing and she turned around and smiled at me. And then she just turned around and just.
Oh, it's fucking great. I love it. Did she make that noise too? Did she go, yeah?
That was my noise. yeah. And then we went back to the Bronx. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. That's fucking great. That happened to me back in the day. If you had long hair, you could pull chicks just for having long hair. I had that happen many times in my life where I walked into a club and a girl and I just looked at each other and started making out. That would never happen. Well, also now I'm too old.
No. I was really like that. I like that. I was a really shy kid. So.
James chose his bald head. So what was your first concert?
It ain't happening for me, baby. It ain't happening for me.
there's still hope. Go to a concert right now. Wait out in front of it until they open. I think the Foo Fighters are playing in the Garden. You have a good shot. Just stand there and wait for someone to turn around and kiss you during COVID time.
Every time someone's looking around, he's like, is this going to be the one?
First concert I went to was a band called Slade.
Oh, I know Slade. That famously Quiet Riot covered them twice.
Right. Come Feel the Noise and whatever.
Mama, We're All Crazy Now.
Yeah, we're all crazy now. Yeah, it was at the Sunshine Inn in Asbury Park, which is like this dive. It used to be an old garage. It was 1972, I think. And it was loud, and I was totally hooked.
Was that when you said, I'm going to be a rock star?
No, I didn't. The rock star thing didn't come till like I was 19. I just thought, you know, I was a huge fan. I'm still more than a fan than I am a rock star, that's for sure. I'm just like, I'm one of these people that just, I was like, maybe I'll try that. Maybe I can be one of those guys for a while. And then 30 years later, I'm still doing it, but I still don't feel as if I really am one of those guys. It's like, it's a place for my other identity to go. And I can take chances that I would never do in my normal life. It's like Jekyll and Hyde for me, you know?
Yeah. Do you have a guilty pleasure rock music, like a band or artist that you love that people be like, holy shit, I can't believe Dave Windorf listens to, you know, Barbra Streisand or whatever?
Oh, tons. Yeah. I like Barbra Streisand a lot. You know, there's so many embarrassments, you know, from Cat Stevens to, you know, Kate Bush to Tori Amos to, you know, Rick Wakeman's Journey to the Center of the Earth just because it's so stupid. I listen to all music. I listen to a lot of 20s jazz. I listen to all kinds of stuff. Music is a bountiful board. You know, I don't attach it to my identity at all. I just pick from it's like a giant buffet. Like, oh, I think I'll have some classical today. You know? I think I'll have some Miles Davis today. You know, I think I'll have some, Sly and the Family Stone. I think I'll have.
And when you're picking your track list, do you talk in that voice to yourself?
Yes, and I wear a monocle.
Now, what about the first drug you ever did after weed? Unless weed wasn't your first drug.
LSD. I waited from the time I was 11 years old and I first saw the first anti-drug commercial on TV in 1968.
Wow, that's early.
It's a long time ago. So I'm 11 years old, right? And I, you know, that year I saw Planet of the Apes, which was a mind fucker, you know, at 11 years old, you know, it's like, what do you mean? They were on Earth the whole time. You know?
Wait a minute. I'm just figuring that out now. Is that what it meant?
Yes.
Spoiler alert. Come on, guys. I'm a little behind.
Watch it again. Soylent Green is people.
What?
So, and then it wasn't too long after that I saw a commercial on TV. That kind of fit into what I was seeing in magazines and stuff in stores with all this color, psychedelic color and, you know, dimension. And the guy was just like, my daughter jumped out a window because she thought she was an airplane and she could fly. It's all because of LSD. And I was like, what if I just take a little? And maybe I like,
I want to fly. I want to try and flying.
So finally, I just was totally absorbed in that that thought of taking an adventure in your mind. And I finally took it, and I think it was around like 72. Mm-hmm. I took it, and I completely freaked out. I freaked out. But it was really, really fun, and then I did it, semi-regularly.
Right.
Like everybody did back then.
And then a couple of years ago, you had some drug issues, but you're doing good these days, it seems. You're in like
That was like, and I didn't do drugs again for another like 40 years. And then I wound up taking benzodiazepine from a doctor and like it almost ruining my life. So
That's
a 21st century story. Different kind of drug, you know? That's like, and hey, then, doc, he goes, I got just what you need. And I'm like, what? You know?
I remember that very clearly. And now the first time you had sex.
That actually is tied in with rock too, because I remember what record I was listening to, Close to the Edge by Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 13.
Whoa, that's young. Not our youngest, but young.
No. And there was a girl who was a friend of my older sister's.
Mm-hmm.
And we had one of the cheap little pools in the back, one of those white trash pools.
Mm-hmm.
Set up, it's all buckly and that kind of thing. And she was really tall, and I always goofed around with her, and we always had a good time. And she just moved in, and I was like, wait, So it was in a pool, and in the bright sunlight, probably about 10 foot away from the window, where my mother was inside. But it was awesome.
I'm sure it was. That's very fucking good story. And was it a one-off with her, or did you see her more often after that?
Oh, no, I built the relationship. I tried to.
Was the relationship built around pools?
It was. No. because it wasn't. But it was never quite that exciting again. And she was older than me, so she moved on to, I think she discovered that, maybe she could take a chance on somebody her own damn age.
As first go, it's a pretty good one, I gotta say.
She was like 17 years old.
Oh, I love it. Okay. Love it very much.
Like 13. I'm like, best time I ever had.
New album is called A Better Dystopia. All covers, psychedelic rock covers. Your Instagram for the band is at Monster Magnet Official. I'm going to shit on you a little bit. The official website is zodiaclung.com.
That's a disaster. It's like, don't pay attention to that.
Yeah, it's a disaster. You're still promoting the last album, which has the least PC radio title ever. Mindfucker was the last album. Way to go after rock radio with that title. But
at this point in my life, what would I be if I didn't at least name one record Mindfucker? What I mean? And now I can like retire and go like, yeah, I remember the time I released Mindfucker. No.
Idiot. Oh, and Shannon reminded me, I'm sorry, I forgot. We've been doing this with rock stars. The term that we use is rock star sex. You remember the first time you had sex because you were you? They're like, oh shit, I want to fuck Dave Windorf.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's amazing. It's like, I couldn't believe it was happening. Now I worked it and as a punk rocker in my original band Shrapnel, but it wasn't the same thing. The rock star thing, you have to have some sort of, obviously I've thought about this carefully. You have to be really recognized without even playing, without even be physically meeting the person first. They have to know you as some sort of a celebrity,
As some sort of space lord, some might say.
Well, yeah. I mean, that makes it even better. Anything with lord in the title is good. That's good. And we had a hit on the radio. And Negasonic Teenage Warhead or something. And we were somewhere, I think it was in Canada. And I could just tell by the look on her face that she was talking to me as if I was not me. As she was talking to me as the person she had seen in that video.
Right.
And it was such a strange feeling. I was like, this could be really, I guess, easy, and you think about it, but but it's strange. It's not as fulfilling as you'd think. I mean, it's a good bucket list,
mm-hmm.
but it's not, it's quite the same. It's like, hold on. But who am I to argue with such right. devout attention.
Well, as someone who only has meaningless sex, I'm very jealous of that moment. I'll tell you that.
Well, it was meaningful. It was meaningful. Believe me. And it got more meaningful. I eased into the role.
Oh, fair enough. All right, as again, I just say it again. Go to their Instagram at Monster Magnet Official and the new album, A Better Dystopia. It's on Spotify. And then you could probably get some sort of cool, unique pre-sale if you go hunt them down. Let's go around and do the plugs. James?
Okay. D. James Madden on the Instagram, Commissioner Comedy Podcast about the etiquette of comedy, New York Comedy Club Sessions, Penology, me with a band while I do my Penology joke. Ralph thinks it's the number one single to come out in 2021. And by that, I mean he fucking hates it, but I still promote it on his goddamn show. And look for my album and special Check Spot, where I perform a question and answer with the audience while they pay their bills, the worst part of the comedy show. And man, losing your virginity to Chris Squire playing bass beats mine. I was listening to Len Steal My Sunshine. So once again, Monster Magnet for the fucking win, bro. Hey,
just own what you got, man. It's all good.
Thank you, sir.
James, we're not going to do it now because I want your consent. But going forward, when you co-host a rock star comes on, can we play a snippet of your song and let them judge without saying anything about my thoughts?
Yeah, baby, I would love to, and I'm getting good Oh, Bubba, you're getting me hot. The 11% Italian's coming out now, goddammit. Goddamn you.
Right, so no, Shannon, it's going to be great. Today,
it's going to change my fucking life, buddy.
Going forward, we'll do that. All right, Shannon, your plugs.
Follow me on Instagram and TikTok at ShannonLee6982, and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts.
And we take this judge question. Does Dave Windorf believe in ghosts? If I look at his backdrop and he doesn't believe in ghosts, something's wrong. So I say he believes in ghosts. What do you guys say?
Want to show me. Show me the ghost.
Oh, so you're not.
I want ghosts. I want to believe in them. But
oh, my God.
Tap me on my shoulder. Wake me up at night.
I would have lost my ass, Dave. I'm from Vegas. I would have had this as a sure bet. I would have had this -750 that you were going to be pro ghost. I swear to God, I would have.
Well, he's pro ghost. He just doesn't believe it. Hasn't seen any proof yet.
Then all right, it's a push. I keep my money.
I want to believe in UFOs too. Like, open up a fourth dimension, show me a ghost. But like, I'm running out of time.
You know what I mean? Did you get your whole plug-in, like, Shannon? I'm sorry.
I've been looking for my whole life. You know, like, come on.
What?
You got your whole plug-in, right, Shannon? Yeah. I don't know, okay, good. Okay, so follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. My other podcast called The Good Sugar Podcast, health and wellness podcast, comes out every single Monday. Honestly, dude, it was just a real pleasure, as always, to talk to you. We shouldn't go 12 years between conversations.
I'm sorry. That's always my fault. They're like, lately, the way that rock goes is like the only real reality in rock anymore is getting out on the road as soon as possible when an album hits. There's no window of... It doesn't work. The old promotion doesn't work the way it used to. Right. You just go out to the people. And I got more and more in the fourth dimension. And I got totally out of promoting myself to the world and just promoting myself, or just going into the regular world.
Ask Freeman how many times I asked him to bring you on the show. I'm going to say it was 106.
No, I blame Freeman.
All right, fair enough. I picked the one band that spoke to me from the record. We add a song to our playlist every week, thestrshow.com/playlist. We'll do Born to Go from Hawkwind from the new Better Dystopia Monster Magnet record. And, dude, honestly, thank you so much for coming on. A real pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. It's good to see you, man. It won't be that long, believe me.
I look forward to talking again in 2034.
We'll do it before then. I'll have another record out in 6 months.
All right, well, we'll talk to you then. Maybe you'll come in studio then.
Yeah.
All right, peace.
to the SDR Show.